as we've been trying to solve a problem that's only Shemitah Derabbanan, according to most of the Rishonim, for the variety of reasons that we learned before Yontif, and we're going head first into an Issa Deraisa of Lo Sechanim. We worked yesterday to try to solve this problem of Lo Sechanim. We came up with one possibility, go down the root of Geratosha, but we saw that it was fraught with many, many complications. We weren't even convinced that there's a heter of Lo Sechanim, even if you really do have a Geratosha. We had a Machlekes, the Rambam and Taisa, but even so sure that was true. Even in Nir that there is, according to the Rambam, there's no such thing as a Ger Toshuv. And even according to the Raivet, that there is a potential quasi-Ger Toshuv today, we're not even sure we even have one in front of us. So we had a lot of hesitations whether we want to go down that route of Ger Toshuv. It's a possibility, but we're dealing with an Issa Deraisa, and it wasn't the most convincing Mahalach we had yesterday. Is there another Mahalach? So there was another suggestion based on a din that appears in the Tesefta that the Rishonim quote about Lo Sechanim, but here it borrows a little bit from one of the other Lo Sechanim. Remember we spoke about yesterday that besides Chanoya Bekarka, there's also the din of Matnas Chino, also the din of Metzias Chaim, but again, we're not speaking too much about that. So there is a din concerning Matnas Chino, where the Tesefta says that if a person gives the matnas chinam to somebody who he knows, he gives the gift to his neighbor, he gives it to a goy who he has some kind of a relationship with, that the Sefer says that's not a violation of matnas chinam. Why is it not a violation of matnas chinam? So the Pasha of Dvar Mir, because it's not really done b'chinam. I'm not doing it so much out of the goodness of my heart, but rather I'm doing it because I expect something either tangible or intangible in return. So let's say, Lamashal, I give a gift to the mailman. So why do I give a gift to the mailman? Because I have such a loving relationship with the mailman? No, because the next time it snows, I want him to actually come up to the front of the house and put it into the mailbox, not to leave it out in the snow. Let's say I give a nice gift, a little tip to the babysitter. So why am I giving a tip to the babysitter? So she'll be, get off her cell phone when she's watching the kids a little bit, she'll do a little bit of better job. So those are, I have certain incentives. The Tesefta says that whenever I'm giving it, not b'teres chinam, I'm giving it because I'm expecting something in return, so that's not considered to be a violation of Lo Sechanim b'chlal, because that's not l'tovas ha'akam, that's ultimately being done l'tovas ha'Yisrael. Although this din appears in the Tesefta, does it appear in the Gemara at all? Is there any mocher in Shas and Talmud Bavli for this idea? There is a Gemara that the Ran thought was alluding to this idea, a very famous Gemara in Maseches Gittin and Afam Chesed, appears in Gittin Lamechesed and the Seven Final Brachas, about once Rabbi Eliezer came to Shul and they were looking for a minion. They only had 9 people in Shul for a minion. So sounds like a familiar problem sometimes. So what do you do? So today, what do? Today we start calling people, start texting people frantic, trying to get people to come to master the minion. So Rabbi Eliezer did a simpler job. So Rabbi Eliezer, he had an Eved Kenani was with him. So he was Meshach with Eved Kenani. He wrote a Shashich of the Eved Kenani. He freed the Eved Kenani. And sure, once the Eved Kenani is freed, he's considered to be a Yisrael Gomes, like a Ger, and then he counts for the minion. Kozman, that he's an Eved Kenani, doesn't count for the minion. And Kozman is Meshuchra, that he does count for the minion. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer did. So the Achrayim talked about why didn't he do something even easier? He should have just made a Goylem. Isn't that easier? So some Achrayim write, you see from here, they're making a Goylem. A Goylem is not Mistar for a minion. Maybe. That's all right. They can bring a Raya, maybe not. The Shavua quotes from the Chacham Tzvi, who has a suffix, whether a Goylem is Mistar for a minion or not. So from this, some Achrayim want to bring a Raya, that he's not Mistar. Okay. Getting back to the story. So the Gemara asks and Rabbi Eliezer, how was he able to do this? Wasn't this an issur in the Torah? The Torah says the olam tavaydu kol meshacher avos under the essay. You're not supposed to be meshacher. You're Eved Kenani just like that. So the Gemara says, well, it was okay because it was makom mitzvah. Makom mitzvah somehow that was all right. So what was going on the Gemara? What exactly was the shachar time? The Gemara thought it was a problem. The Gemara realized it was an aveira. Then the Gemara just kind of glossed over it by saying makom mitzvah, everything is hunky dory. Why exactly is everything so hunky dory? So the Ramban in Maseches Gittin and Afam Ches suggests one pshat in the Gemara. Says maybe the pshat in the Gemara means like this, that the Isra of Mishachar Avdai is Ke'ein the Isra of Lo Sechanim. That's the marshal, that's the model that he gives. Now again, it's not the same. An Eved Kenani is not really a Vikichon. If he's an Eved Kenani, he wouldn't be an Eved Kenani. Obviously he believes in the Ribono Shel Olam. He's keeping more than Shav Mitzvahs B'Neich. He's keeping Shabbos Kashrus. But Aval Bichein, he still doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. So somehow there's like a quasi Lo Sechanim over here. So it's a very limited form of Lo Sechanim. So to give the Eved Kenani his shichruf and just out of the goodness of your heart, that's not the right thing to do. But if you're doing it for some other reason, if some other ulterior motive, maybe I want to daven a minyan, I don't want to wait for someone else to come. I have to say Baruch Hu. So if you're doing it for reasons that are l'tayves at Yisrael, so that's not a violation of kol meshachar avdoi. Ain that din of the tesefta, that it's not considered to be a violation of lo sichanim if it's being done l'tayves at Yisrael. The Rabban draws that, Rabban crosses that bridge. Rabban connects those two dots. He says, that's pshat in the Gemara Masechet Yudot Lamechet. It's a similar idea as appears in the Tesefta. So according to Rabban, the Gemara in Gittin Lamechet is assuming this din of the Tesefta, and then the Gemara is making a jump and saying that Hu Adinami vis-a-vis the Yisru Meshachar Avdoi. So this is a really a tremendous chiddush of the Rabban. It could be that most of the Rabban himself quotes another pshat. Yeah, the problem is that even if he's really a goy, but he's better than a Gev Toshav. I mean, according to Heftu Rishon, Gev Toshav is not a problem. I mean, the Rabban holds it's a problem also Chanam on Gev Toshav also. It's hard to believe that would be true. We don't find that there's an Isra Matana to an Epikinani. You're not Isra Matana, why can't? The Rav is a Machlekes, and if you Matana to Epikinani, is the Rav Zerich and Matana not? Yesh Kinan Li'evid B'lai Rav, Yesh Kinan Li'evid B'chob Ravli. But we don't find anywhere that it's an Isra Matana to an Epikinani. So it's strange, very, very difficult Rambam. So the truth is that many of the Rishonim, could be most of the Rishonim, don't understand the Gemara Gittin that way.
Just how would there be an answer to give to him if he doesn't have a yad to be?
So that's mean to give him a matana. So that's a sugya of the Gemara, whole sugya in condition about can the Nevi Kanai be Zayich without the Ever, without the Rav can give him a manasha. In the Rav Rishas, it's a sugya, the whole sugya in the Gemara condition.
It's like when we circumventing, like I think there's no need for Okay,
whatever it is, a different sugya. So, get back to the story. So again, so we have this Gemara, this is the Feirush, that you're allowed to be Meshachar Avdoi, B'mokal Mitzvah. That's the Lashon of Gemara, you're allowed to be B'mokal Mitzvah. So try to figure out why that's true. So the Ramban has this idea, because it's like Lo Sechonim, and basically it's L'Tavis HaYisrael. So many of the Rishonim don't buy into this Ramban. What are some other suggestions? What are some of the more popular answers in the Rishonim as to why it's permissible with Mokal Mitzvah? So the Rabban himself quotes another answer. He says that maybe this Isra of Meshachar Avdoi is not really an Isra Deraisa. The Oilam Behem Tavoidu is a real Deraisa. The Gemara says a Lashem, so Oiva B'Yasek. Oiva B'Yasek can sometimes mean a Deraisa, and sometimes can mean a lower level, can mean a subside Derabon and Asmach to be Alma. So the Rabban says that he thinks that, he quotes another answer, maybe the whole Isra of Meshachar Avdoi wasn't such a serious Isra in the first place. So Chazal instituted that B'mokam to make a minyan, it's more important than the mitzvah of Meshachar Avdoi. That was another possibility. So that takes a sting out of the Yisr in the first place. So Oyd Yishleimer, that the Yisr was only Drabbanan. But then other Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Tosfos in the Rosh, they sent a whole nother pshat in that Gemara. They say no. They say that the Yisr of Meshachar Avdoi is a very, very serious Yisr. It's an Yisr Derais, no question about it. But notwithstanding the fact that it's a real Issa Deraisa, it's only an Essay Shel Yochid. It's only my personal Issa. It's not the Tzibah's Issa. I have a personal Issa. I don't have a Kenayani. I'm not supposed to be Meshachar Nevi Kenayani for no reason. But when it comes to davening in a minyan is a very, very important mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah is it? Why is davening a minyan so important? It's an Essay Shel Sharab. It's a Tzibah. You have 10 people who are affected by the lack of a minyan. So now we enter into a new realm of halacha. Cool, when you have to determine the hierarchy of mitzvahs, when you have an Esesh al Yochid in contrast to an Esesh al Rabbit, which takes precedence, which is more important? So Tosis thinks, is there a cloud that an Esesh al Rabbit is more important than an Esesh al Yochid? Is there such a cloud? So Tosis digs up a Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Tes. Tosis look, they knew Kol Tarkula in front of them. They're learning a Sugi and getting up from the fast and looking at through the eyes of Psachim Daf Nun Tes. And they didn't even have daf. It's not like they could even find a daf. They had to take out a scroll and start, finding, on column 67, fourth line from the bottom, in your text of the scroll. And the other guy's text of the scroll is on column 38 and the 17th line from the bottom. So it takes a lot. It's much, much harder to cross-reference things when you don't even know what the other person's talking about. Well, I don't think there were scrolls in. I think they were handwritten books already, right? Were they handwriting books already? What?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah, books,
yeah. Henry, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm just making it a little more, juicy. Okay, bottom line is, it wasn't a typical art scroll, Gemara. Okay? So comes Tosis and says, we have a Gemara tucked away in Psachim, not from Tess. Used to be in Yad Yama, last week, Yad Yama. The Gemara in Psachim was a wild Shiloh. It's a wild, wild Shiloh. It's Erev Pesach, okay? And the Korban Tavit Shobei in Harbayim was already brought, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon already. Right, if it was Erev Pesach Erev Shabbos, then it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever. It's late in the afternoon. All the Beis Mikdash is closed up for the day, with the exception of Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach, unlike all other Korbanos that are not allowed to be brought after the Korban Tamid, the Korban Pesach Dafka has to be brought after the Korban Tamid. It's a special din deraisik, well, there's that from Sukkim. Korban Pesach was carved Dafka after the Korban Tamid. But to bring any other Korban after the Korban Tamid is an Issa deraisa. What's that Issa called? Who remembers? Hashlom, the Issa of Hashlom. Did we talk about it this year? What did we talk about? This year, last year, the other year. A few times, okay. Allah Hashlem. Allah Hashlem kol karbanos kulam. It's an issa deraisa to offer karbanos after the karban tamid shebein abayim, except for the karban pesach. So here you have some guy comes knocking on the door of the Beis Hamikdash at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he says, "Wait a second, I have a little bit of pride. I can't get in. Don't open the door for me quickly. I can't get in. You know why? Because I've been a mechusa kippurim. I'm a mechusa kippurim. Namely, I was a mitzayra. I was a zav. I was somebody who forgot. I should have brought my karbanos last week." But I didn't get it. I was dilly-dallying. I was too busy getting ready for Pesach. I forgot to bring my karbanos. And now I realize before I can bring my karban Pesach, I have to first clear myself of my tumah mechus kippurim. Mechus kippurim can't bring a karban. It's not like coming to the Azara. So he knocks on the door and he asks the kahanim. He asks the Sanhedrin. The delicious Zagrozis. They're trying to get this show of karban Pesach done. The dayanim said, "I have to get home. We have to put the kids to sleep. There are a lot of things to do. And, you know, putting the last touches on taping up the cabinets that they should have taped up in the morning. You know, whatever like people normally do. You know, I'm trying to bake the charoses, trying to figure out how to make salt water before Shabbos. A lot of things are busy. You know, every Pesach late in the afternoon. And this one nincompoop who overslept for the last 6 months forgot to bring his karban chuzkim room. So what do you do with him?" So the Gemara says it's okay. We could deal with the Nikabubo. So we'll let him bring the carbon Mechusa Kippurim. Why? Because if he doesn't bring the carbon Mechusa Kippurim, then he won't be able to bring carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach is a very, very serious mitzvah. It's Esther Sheesh Bekaris. The Yisuf Hashlama, you know, the Mechilas cover the Yisuf Hashlama. It's only an Esther Hakal. If you violate Hashlama, there's no Issa Kares. So now you have a clash between an Esther Sheesh Bekaris and an Esther Sheim Bekaris. So the Gemara says, Yavi Esther Achom Vidche Esther Hakal, that the Esther Achomor of Korban Pesach is more important than the Esei Akal, and therefore, normally we say Ein Esei Doch Esei. Normally, you have no right to violate an Esei. Esei Doch Halos Esei, not an Esei Doch another Esei. So normally, we would say Shev Al Tasa Adem. But here we say Yavi Esei Achav Yirch Esei Akal. So the Gemara only gives us the mechanism to measure Chumras HaAsei by the mechanism of Koris. Koris in Einish is usually a good barometer to measure whether something is Chumra or not. So Tosfos comes and says, "Achidish Gola Nag Gemara Machav Daf and Tess and Gittin Daf Lamed Ches and the Rosh and Rachis." Paul say, "You see from that Gemara that there is a concept of an Esei Chum and an Esei Akal. How do you measure Chumras and Kulas?" So the only mechanism the Gemara gives us is the vehicle of looking at through the eyes of Einish. But Tosfos says, "You know, we have another idea. Rabim and Yachid is also a good barometer. If you have an Esei Sheish Shal Rabim, that's also Rabim is another characteristic of Chumra." And that elevates a mitzvah to an Esei Shel Rabim. And Tosfos says that's what was going on in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer could free his Eved, notwithstanding the fact that he was violating outright an Esei in the Torah of Yolam Bem Tavaydu, it was still okay because Yavi Esei Achom Shel Rabim, Yisei Yidche Esei Akal Shel Yochid. So that's quite a creative Tosfos. Tosfos took a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nuntes that was measuring Chumras with Onshim, and invoke the principle of measuring chumras with Rabim versus Yochid. That's a really, really interesting Tosfos. So Tosfos says that's what's really going on in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches. So it's an essay, Shel Rabim, Doiche, essay Shel Yochid. What's very, very questionable about this Tosfos? This is a tremendous Chiddush Tosfos. What's the Chiddush?
How do we know that the way that the human being works, that we're seeing the cow to begin with?
How do you know that one?
There's only 9 men within 18 mil radius. And maybe the Chiyuv was never Chal, and then to begin with had a minion.
A Chiyuv?
If he had 10, then there would be a need to get a minion, but right now there's Pater.
Well, that's a different question. I mean, how much am I mechuyav to Moshe Nefesh to fulfill this mitzvah? But everyone agrees, if there's no minion, so I'm not going to have my Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, I'm not going to fulfill those mitzvahs. Whether I could technically hide behind and saying, I'm saying, honest, what do you want me to have? I'm mechuyav to turn my whole life upside down to fulfill that chiyav, so Chazal gave you a break, but that the mitzvah is still not going to be fulfilled.
So that's that. There's no chiyav even to begin with.
Oh, no, mechuyav, of course you have mechuyav. Everyone's mechuyav. The halacha is everyone's supposed to try to hear Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch, everything. You're supposed to try to be mishtatif in that mitzvah of Dvarim Shekedusha. There are some situations that arise where Chazal said that you're not doing so always in that fish. Oh, so that's the real Pelantais. The real Pelantais is that none of this is deraisa. It means you want to say an Esa Shirama and a love of deraisa, Zdechan Esa Shayach and a love of deraisa. It's also not a Kabim Makabim. Either Tais is right, Tais is wrong. Either Tais is Dimyan from Kares to Rabim is right or wrong. So Tais happens to think they're right. Other Rishonim maybe think that they're not right. But Tais is a jump, Gabi jump, Gabi jump. That's what the Rush writes in Brachas, that the Rush also believes in Tais's theory in the Gemara and says, Zabin Fando, you see for this Gemara, and an Esa Shirabim is Deich and Esa Shayochit, even though the Esa Shirabim is only a Derabbanan and the Yochit is a Deraisa. So he never explains how that works. He doesn't explain the mechanism how that works, but that's what you see. So each one of these pshatim in the Rishonim, these are like the three popular pshatim in the Rishonim, to explain away why Mishach Avdai is Mutar Mocha Mitzvah. So the Rabban's pshat is very, very creative because it's extending a principle that's found by Los Echonim, plugging into Mishach Avdai. Other Rishonim say there's no such connection at all. To take the whole list of Mishach Avdai and say it's only Derabbanan, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Ovi B'Yesei, that sounds like a Derais unless we know otherwise. And Taizus Pratas, Esesh Arab and Dechas Shayochid, we have no idea whether this principle is true. And to make matters even worse, even though it's only a Derabbanan, it's going to be Dechad Yaraisa, that's a Achidisha Gabi Chidisha. So each one of the Psham Rishonim has its own complications to it. But the only part that we're into, we're not learning Gittin Dabla Mechas right now. We're really learning the Ramban's Pshat, because we want to give some credibility to this idea of the Tesefta, but the best credibility we can give is the Ramban's beer in this Gemara, but the other Rishonim didn't buy into this Ramban. Why didn't the other Rishonim, why didn't everybody say the Ramban? Why did the Ramban himself hesitate? Why did Taisin the Rosh come up with a newfangled idea? What was wrong with the Ramban's Pshat? So perhaps what was controversial about the Ramban's Pshat was not the underlying principle, the Matnas Chinam, is okay if it's a Tavas Yisrael. That wasn't the underlying problem. The underlying problem was the jump of the Ramban from the Sechonim to Mishach HaRavdai. The basic underlying principle, at least within Lo Sechonim, is still accurate, is still correct. Now, that wasn't controversial. That everyone would have bought into. What the reason why Tosfos and the Rosh and the Ramban himself veered from that pshat was not because they necessarily disagreed with the Lo Sechonim part of the Sugya. What they did disagree with is probably is the extrapolation to Mishach HaRavdai. So when all the dust settles, we have a Tosefta that says Matnas Chiyum Mutar Chai Yisrael is Mutar. We have a Ramban who claims the Gemara says it, so we're going to work with that. The Shulchan Aruch has quoted this idea that Lo Sechonim Tavas HaYisrael is in fact okay. Matnas Chiyum Mutar Chai Yisrael is in fact okay.
I'm making this up, but some people say that it's talking about Parshas Zachar.
No, the Rosh in that piece. So when the Rosh says it must be based on Esed Sharabim, so the Rosh says, aye, but it's only a Dirabbanan. So the Rosh writes, so don't tell me that Hochamah Askin, this happened to have been Shabbos Parshas Zachar, just happened to have been the day before Purim. Says the Rosh, don't say that because it doesn't sound like the Gemara. So from that line of the Rosh, you see that the Rosh held that the reading of Parshas Zachar in is a Deraisa. That was the famous Deshin's Raya. But the Rosh says, don't say that Pshat. So when people misquote the Rosh, not to you, but other people misquote the Rosh, so they say, oh, the Rosh said the story is the Parshas Zachar. No, the Rosh says, don't say that. Okay. So by that, whether we accept the Ramban, don't accept the Ramban, the basic din is true by Lo Sechonim, and maybe this is part of a potential heter in terms of the heter mechira. Why? So some came up with the following idea: when we sell Eretz Yisrael to the goyim, who are we doing it for? Whose benefit are we doing it for? Very ulterior motive. It's very clear what we're doing. That's this grandiose motive of love for the non-Jews in South Carolina. We're doing it because we want to be able to work our land. We don't want to be bothered with Kfir Shvias. So maybe one can argue that Lo Sechonim was never said to Tavas Yisrael. That's what some care with this theory, based on this Ramban. Who thinks that comparison is valid? Who thinks this has anything at all to do with the Ramban?
That's yesterday.
What? So Ruth says things depends on yesterday. Is Matnas Chinam really part of the Sechonim or not? So who's going to save him more?
Well, we're not trying to do a mitzvah, we're trying to avoid a mitzvah.
No. But according to Ramban, the underlying heter was is being done the Tavas Yisrael. So what do I care? If the Tavas Yisrael is either because I want a lane, or Tavas Yisrael because I don't want to be bothered with Shemitah, that's still a Tavas Yisrael.
Well, you're benefiting is no longer manastino, but it loses it's no longer the definition of manastino because you're getting something else, it's not fino.
Yeah,
by land, there's no that's in.
Yeah, comes the Chazanish and says that he thinks this comparison is mamish wrong. That it's mamish dead wrong, says the Chazanish. He said this heter of Latavas Yisrael only makes sense in that aspect of Los Achanim called Matnaschinam, because the whole nature of the Yisrael is Matnaschinam. So if I'm doing it for my purposes, Nishkin Matnas, Nishkin Chinam, I'm doing it because there's a price tag. The price tag attached is that I want you to watch my kids better. The price tag attached is I want you to deliver the mail better. I want you to throw out the garbage better. So that's the reason why it's not gezeiras hakasa. L'tovas Yisrael. So l'tovas Yisrael you can eat treif. L'tovas Yisrael you can eat bas b'chalav. L'tovas Yisrael, it's not called the matnas chinam, so it undermines the very isra. The isra of chanoi b'karka, although it's learned out from the same words of los echanim, has nothing to do with chinam. What's the raya brusha ala tshuva, says the Chazanish? Which are raya brusha ain't ala tshuva. If the guy pays for it, let's say I have a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, it's not worth all that much. Say I own a piece of land where I don't know. Someone nobody would ever go to. I don't know. Pick me, I don't know, whatever. Someone over there. Chispin, I don't know, whatever. Middle of nowhere. So a guy owns I own some land, and the market rate for this is, I don't know, $100. And I convinced the guy to give me a $10 million, $100. So it's very much what Thomas says. Well, I'm definitely getting more of it than he is. What's the din? It's an issa deraisa. Let's see, they lamb chanoi b'karka. The issa of chanoi b'karka is not dech matana. The issa is dech mechira also. So comes the Chazanish and says, what in the world is the heter of lack of being a matnas chinam? What does that have to do with the price of China? The price of land and payment, you have to do with anything. So it doesn't matter what you charge them. It doesn't matter who's benefiting. It doesn't matter what ulterior motive. You can have all the ulterior motives in the world and it's still an issa deraisa because the nature of the issa is not alta chinam shabai. The nature of the issa is alta chanoi b'karka shabai. So Chazanish thought it was mamish varm b'talim. This heter that some people suggest they thought was mamish varm b'talim. But it had nothing at all to do with the chanoi b'karka. So when all the dust settles, we've tried to go through two different approaches to try to solve the Los Echanim problem. We went down the route of Getosha. We bumped into a lot of obstacles along the way. And then we try to go down the notion of lack of Matnas Chinam, and we also bump into very, very serious hesitation.
So the Chazanish doesn't really bring up Svar, but he says that Eretz Yisrael doesn't, or you can't sell land in Eretz Yisrael to people that are all day at the bazaar. Is there any underlying svar? Like, is there any reason why chanoi b'karka is different than matnas chinam?
I mean, lemaisa is an issa deraisa. It's not all matnas chinam. It's just I can understand why the Torah doesn't want the avdei kacham to have a shlit in Eretz Yisrael. So I can definitely understand. I mean, whether we understand, don't understand, doesn't really make a difference. It's an issa b'fnei atzma. Yeah.
It's kind of like being Doris having the crow a little bit, because once you see at least the steps of that.
But the Sefer was told about a different Yisr. They learned off the same. Yeah, but they have nothing to do with each other. Yisr and Malagam are different. Malagam are different.
But we already saw
it. You can apply some of it when we're trying to figure out which goy is the Torah is speaking to. So the Torah is speaking about the same type of a goy. So that makes sense to extrapolate one from another. But when you're talking about the very nature of the Yisr, you're going to say that the Yisr and Manaschinim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because Chaniya B'Karka is only in Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't make any sense. Right? No? That all the things that necessarily compare. So needless to say, the Chazanish was not the biggest fan of the Heter Mechira. And on multiple levels. First of all, everything we spoke about from beforehand, that even a niyach that the field mamish belongs to the guy is probably going to solve very little according to the Chazanish's understanding. And to get it to belong to the guy is going to be a serious violation. But then the Chazanish comes with a certain sense of the nail in the coffin for the Heter Mechira, from the Chazanish's vantage point. Comes the Chazanish and says, okay, so they didn't listen to me. They went ahead and did the Heter Mechira anyway. Okay? They did. Whatever they did. They went ahead and they did the Heter Mechira. They went ahead and they sold the land to Eretz Yisrael. They sold the land to Eretz Yisrael to the guy. Says the Chazanish, did the Mechira take place? You violated an Isser. You sold the land bit Isser to the guy. Did the Mechira take place? So the answer is yes. I mean, even if you violate an Isser, we spoke about this in Meruba days, Ksubas days, about a Kinyan done B'Shabbos, right? We spoke about that the other night. Bottom line is, you sell the land bit Isser, so the Kinyan bit the Yavid Ischal. Says the Chazanish, well, not necessarily. I'll tell you why. How is the Het Mechira, how had the Het Mechira been done over the years? It was done very similar model like the Mechira's Chametz, in the sense of the farmer, the owner of the land, never met the Goy. What does the farmer do? He appoints the rabbi, the rabbanut, the chief rabbi is there, whoever signs off on the dotted line. So the farmer, we need a good name. What's a good name for a farmer? We need a good Israeli name farmer. What?
Drawer.
That's I like that. Okay, Drawer. Drawer is one of these guys. He's been growing oranges, you know, since before Matan Torah. You know, his great-great-grandfather, you know, came from Morocco. He was from, okay, Drawer. Okay, Drawer. So, So he comes to chief rabbi, okay? He comes to a rabbi, and he says, okay, here I'm appointing you as a shaliach. He hands him a pen, you know, he writes him out, writes him a check from Mechiras, Shalom Maestro. He appoints the rabbi, and the rabbi goes to the guy, and Gavaldik, okay? So comes the Chaznish and says, not so Gavaldik. He says, you know what's not so Gavaldik? Because what Dror just did is he asked the rabbi to violate an ear for him. He appointed him as a shaliach to do something that's also in a Torah, lo sechanim. So what do we say about that? We say four words. Ein shalichas va'avera. We say that the shalichas is batel. You can't have shalichas on a va'avera. If Dror would have sold the field to the guy himself, that would have been a terrible avera, but at least the mechira would have been chal, which according to Chaznish is tantamount to being worthless anyway. But according to the mekiyim, according to the menabar, according to those people who owning, having a goy own the land would mean something. So Chaznish says, if Dror would sell directly to, we need a good name for a. We need a good guy. Come on, give me a good name. Who's the recipient? So let's get to one of the South Carolina guys. Give me a good name from someone from South Carolina.
Noah Ebenezer.
Ebenezer would be a last name, okay? Mr. Noah, Mr. Eben, okay? Mr.
Ezekiel.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Ezekiel, that's good, okay? I conjure up these images of these guys down there, you know, working, tilling the land in South Carolina. Okay, so Dror and Ezekiel, all right? How come the Goy has the more Jewish name than so Dror is selling his land to Ezekiel directly, right? Terrible Aveira, but at least the Mechir is Chalf, whatever that's worth. But when Dror sells it through, maybe the rabbi, who's the rabbi? Arav HaRashi. Harav, what? I don't want to say a name of anybody. Maran Rishi Rishon Mitzion, okay? Whoever that is. It could be anybody. Rishon Mitzion is a smiley chief rabbi. Okay. So Dror is selling to the Rishon Mitzion as the Shaliach, and it's eventually ending up in Ezekiel's pocket. So Zokta Chazinish, that's Ein Shalichat Vaver, the Shalichat is Batel. So the Mechir never took place. So the Chazinish says there's good news and bad news in that statement. The bad news is that you didn't accomplish anything, right? The bad news is that it's still Kaka Shel Dror, it's still the Jewish land, so your mamash accomplished absolutely nothing. You completely wasted your time. That's the bad news. What's the good news? You didn't violate L'Sechanim either, because you're only in violation of L'Sechanim if the Mechira takes place. So what did you do? So you wasted the rabbi's time, you wasted Ezekiel's time, you paid for Ezekiel's ticket to come to Eretz Yisrael to buy land that's not going to belong to him anyway. The whole thing was Mamash Dvarim Tem. Bet he should sit and learn Mishnah Shviyas, do something productive in your time, rather than play games, because it's not Chal anyway. That's what the Chaznish's kind of was. He says that the whole Mechir is Boshul Mavudol, because they ain't Shlechet Vavera. Now that's very, very interesting observation that the Chaznish has made, because he interpreted the phrase Ein Shalichas Vaver in a way that I wouldn't necessarily have interpreted so quickly. So this is already more of a Bamitziah first perk. So again, we spent a lot of time in this stuff back in a few days. Bamitziah. It's probably also around the June's amount of time, right? So we have this cloud goal in the Gemara called Ein Shalichas Vaver. Famous Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, Maseches Bamitziah, called Ein Shalichas Vaver. And it's either learned from the Svaras, from Sukkah, whatever the Mokah for it is. Ein Shalichas Vaver. One could raise a fundamental question, just what do those words mean, Ein Shalichas Vaver? Does Ein Shalichas Vaver mean that in the realm of Onshin, if you want to know who is ultimately going to get punished for the Aver that's done, so if Reuven hires a hitman to kill Shimon, so the person who pulls the trigger is going to be Chayav. The assassin can't turn around and say, no, I'm just a Shaliach, so it's Yei Shalichas Vaver, and it's really the Mishalech, who's Chayav? He said, no. Ein Shalichas Vaver means that when Beis Din comes out to meet out an Einesh, so the Onesh is going to be done to the Shaliach, not to the Mishalech. That's what all Ein Shalichas Vaver means. In the realm of mitzvahs, who gets the mitzvahs? If I appoint as a Shaliach, the B'dikas Chametz for me, so you work, at the end of the day, I get the mitzvah. That's what Shalichas means. So, Yei Shalichas Vaver mitzvah, except Mitzvah Gufo, Ein Shalichas Vaver. Does that klal of Ein Shlichus mean the Shlichus is batel? Shlichus doesn't exist? It's command Eloisa? I don't know. Doesn't say that. Maybe Ein Shlichus is just vis-a-vis Ein Shlichus. Maybe no, maybe Ein Shlichus is much, much deeper than Ein Shlichus means that the whole parish, the whole Kiddush of Shlichus isn't Taifes when there's an Aveira. It's just not Chal. It means it's Ki'ilu the Torah wasn't Mechadish Shlichus. It doesn't exist. There's no such parish of Shlichus. If there's no such parish of Shlichus, the whole Chalais is batel also. Because the emphasis is that Shlichus is really a Kiddush of Torah. If not for the Kiddush of Torah, would you have said Shlichus? If I would just tap you on the shoulder and say, by the way, there's no posting for Shlichus. Do you think Shlichus should work? What do you think? So anyone who learned casually Kiddush Naf Memalef will realize right away what? That is the starting point is the what was this phrase again?
Baseline.
Is the baseline Yeshlichus or Ein Shlichus? The baseline is clearly Ein Shlichus because Haraya the Gemara took him Kedushin Gittin Truma Beis the Gemara needs 15 different Sukkim to prove that Yeshlichus. The baseline is clearly Ein Shlichus. Who was posed this question to? Who remembers? Famous story. Who was posed this question by who? Me Amar Al Me. What's the baseline? What do you think? Do you think that Shlichus is a Chiddush HaTorah or could you figure it out on your own? I don't know. I was the recipient of this question. Who remembers? You remember Bikias? Bikias. Before Bikias. Same first name, different last name. Rabitzik Adler. Okay? Ian Volumbus. Everyone heard of Rabitzik Adler? No? Ian Volumbus? Okay. So he was my, when I was in 8th grade, it was very complicated. I was in 8th grade, but I was really in 9th grade. I was in two schools, another time, another place. So, but I used to go to, I was in 9th grade cheer in a different school, and I was finishing up 8th grade in another school. Fine. So, I was in his cheer. That's right. So we were learning Prek HaShoyel, in Prek HaBavitziha. There's a whole sugi there about Shluch Shalom Kamaisai. So, it reminds me, one of the questions, the final Bechir was, Hagder Shlichus. Just define Shlichus. That was the question. We were 14 years old. Hagder Shlichus. So we had everything under the sun. We have a new about Shlichus. So one of the other Rebbeim, I remember the time, walked into the Bechin was on the board. They had paper in those days. It was written on the blackboard. So one of the other Rebbeim walked in and he saw the question and he couldn't stop laughing. Hagder Shlichus. So he wrote it on the bottom. Hagder Kol HaTorah Kula. Anyway, so... So when I was in Rabbi Adler's Shiur, so one day he used to live in the Heights. So my school was in Riverdale, but it was like in the northern part of Riverdale. I used to sometimes take the bus from my house. I took the bus one day, and he was on that bus, the same Washington Heights bus. So we got off the bus together, and we were walking together from the bus stop to Yeshiva for a couple of minute walk. So we were just like learning the Sugya Shlichus a little bit. Again, I was 14. So he said to me, "So what do you think?" He was ready to like having you think. What do you think? Would you have figured out Shlichus by yourself? Imagine if the Bershom wouldn't have told you. Would you have figured it out on your own? That's what he asked me. I said, "I have no idea." So, but I got back at him. Remember? You remember how I got back? About over 30 years later, his nephew, David Milner, about him. And his nephew's son was bar mitzvah. And it was Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach is the parsha we learn Shlichus from Batem Gam Batem, one of them goes to Shlichus. And I spoke. I spoke at the bar mitzvah. So, and Rabbi Adler was sitting there, front row. I started off my drush by saying, I want to respond to a question that was posed to me over 30 years ago by somebody sitting here. And I said, somebody asked me what I think about Shlichus. So, he was like, he was so excited. So then I went on to talk about why, I think the goal of the drush was something about how parents are shlichim Rabban Shalom, Shuchid Rachamanan, Rabbeim are shlichim, Rabbanim are shlichim, something like that. I turned into the drush, but I started off with that question. I was still thinking about it 30 years later. Okay, I wasn't able to mark the Kol Torah Kula yet. Okay, so what were we talking about? Why did I tell you this? I have no idea. Oh yeah, so the Chazish. Oh yeah, back to Chazish. So one could argue that Shlichus is an unbelievable Chiddush. Without the Parsha Shlichus, I never would have said in a million years. But the Parsha Shlichus was never said for Averus. Ein Shlichus v'Averus means there's no such thing. Shlichus is not Taifas, it's not Chal. So the Chazish is clearly citing the second side of this Chakir. The Chazish clearly understood that Ein Shlichus v'Averus is much more than just saying the onus doesn't go back. It's saying that the whole chalois, the whole shlichus is null and void. Is that true or not? That the chaznish is killing the het mechira even b'diavad, putting the absolute final touches, the makom patish on the het mechira, by saying that since there's a violation of sechanim, so whenever you violate the sechanim, It's going to mean there's an aveira. Whenever there's an aveira, so ein shlichus v'aveira, shlichus v'aveira is going to involve the shlichus v'gamrei. So is there any way out of that? So maybe the Chazanish's understanding is not the correct one. Maybe the first thought is correct. So it's usually assumed that this is 2 days in Taisim Bamitziah. The Chazanish denies that. He claims that the first day also holds it, but if you read the Taisim Bamitziah, you would walk away with the assumption that it's 2 days in Taisim. What's the 2 days in Taisim? What's the issue? So the famous Gemara Bamitziah Daf Yud, we're leaving out all the details, but the Gemara says that if a Kohen asks the Yisrael to Mekadesh a Grusha for him, so that's a potential issue of Yesh Lochet V'Aver. Maybe or maybe no, because on the one hand, there's an Aver Mitzad HaKohen, on the other hand, the Aver is not really Mitzad Yisrael. So it's a detailed nuance within the Sugya of Yesh Lochet V'Aver. So on the spot, there's a little taste with the Gemara Bamitziah Daf Yud that asks the question. He says, what's the issue? What is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is talking. Is this called Yesh Lochet V'Aver? English Lochet V'Aver. Says Taisus Ma'inaf Kamina. There's no onesh for being Mekadesh Grusha anyway, because the Gemara says at the end of Kiddushin, Kidesh V'Lo Bol in Aloikya. If a person is, if the Kohen is Mekadesh the Grusha but never gets around to being with her, so there's no Malchus anyway. So there is no Malchus for the Kiddushin. So who cares what the Yesh Lochet and Shlichus? So Taisus says, no, Chaps Enaf Kamina, because the Gemara says that if you boil afterwards, then he Gloy Muslim Afraya. Well, Taisus claims, if you boil afterwards, then he Gloy Muslim Afraya, that you like it for the Malchus, for the Kedushin also. So Kedushin itself doesn't carry with it Malchus, but if something else follows it, it could potentially carry it Lemafreya. So that's the Gemara's pupilling, that if the Kohen is Mekadesh Derech the Yisrael, and then subsequently the Kohen is Boyel, so who's going to get the Malchus for Kedushin? Is the Yisrael going to get it, or is the Kohen going to get it? That's the pilpulin effect of the Gemara. So the Eidish Shlomo says, forget the Malchus. Hakma Chanak with the Malchus. Leave out the Malchus. The Nafkamina, where the Yeshlich is the Yeshlich is what? Is the what? Is the Kedushin Chalz. We'll read again or not. If you hold that Yeshlich is the Aver applies here, then the Kedushin is never Chalz. She doesn't even need to get. If you hold that this is somehow an exception because the Shaliach is a Lab Bar Chayuva because he's Yisrael not a Kohen, so then this would not be subject to Ein Shlichus D'Aver and the Kedushin would be Chal. So it's clear as day, says the Chazanish, going to the second day in Taisus, at least according to the second day in Taisus, that Ein Shlichus D'Aver is mamash a bittel of the Kedushin. Ein Shlichus D'Aver is not just din of Onshin like the first day, it's mamash a din of bittel of Kedushin. Anyone know this was a famous Shaila? There was a real discussion about this. There was a real, real serious discussion. Was it true that anybody heard about this? The first ketzais of the shluchim about this. There was a ma'aseh shayin that came to Nevi Yehuda that there was a fellow who appointed a shaliach to give his wife a get, and the shaliach comes and arrives to give the wife a get, and the wife says she's not taking the get, she's not interested in receiving the get. So the shaliach beats her up, and he shoves the get down into her hand. So what's the din? What's the shayla? Although with the rice, you don't need das isha for gittin, but there was a cheir under Ben Gershom. There was an issa made where Ben Gershom was based in. And now that Ben Gershom isha be al korcha. So this shaliach violated that cheir. So since the shaliach violated the cheir, maybe we should argue ein shlichus v'aveira, and that could be mevatel the shlichus. Maybe the whole get is batel with the raisa, because the whole korcha shlichus doesn't apply when an aveira is being done. So the whole truth in the Nei Divud about that. Why is that? What, just as an aside, what is the? Why is that a very highly controversial application of that principle? First of all, it's only a chayim, maybe it's only a derabbanan, maybe. Okay, maybe. Maybe. What else? Who remembers? Who we spoke about this in Ksubis? I think we talked about in Ksubis, by Dal Behei. Who remembers? This is not exactly shlichus d'aver. Why? I didn't tell the shliach to beat the woman up. I told the shliach to give the woman a get. The shliach decided on his own to do an aveira. That's not like the case in the Gemara and Kedushin where I appoint the shliach to Mekadesh a Grusha. It's not like the Ganav who says, go steal something from me. This is tantamount to those who may remember the Mishnah Melech by Dal Behei. We spoke about this last year. That I appoint the shliach to... I stole an animal. I put the shliach to shech me, and he decides to shech it on Shabbos. Right? So we spoke about that. So is that called the shliach of Mavera? The Rambam and the Torah, right? So we had a lot of time we spoke about this last year. So getting back to the story. So the Chazanish, again, he's a big believer in the second day in Taisus. And he claims that even the first day accepts the tent, whatever it is. Therefore, the Chaznish says the Shlichus is Batlum of Vutol, and the whole Mechir is null and void, and the whole thing is Dvar B'Tel. That's the Chaznish's breakthrough. So the emphasis is one could possibly argue with the Chaznish on a different Nakuda. One could argue that maybe this application of the Sechanim is not really a Shlichus of Dvar Veira. Why is that? Even if the Chaznish is right, maybe he's not right. Even if he's right, that ain't Shlichus of Dvar Veira. even if he's right that Ein Shluchat V'Avreim is a Shluchat V'Batel, maybe this is not quite included. Why is that? Oh, it means the Shaliach doesn't think he's doing an Avera. He's the rabbi, so his pipe, he's his own pipe. He paskin as mutar. If he held the chaznish, he wouldn't be doing his job right now. So he thinks that it's mutar. His messiah is that it's mutar. So do you say Ein Shluchat V'Avera when the Shaliach himself thinks what he's doing is okay? That's a big machlekes rishon, machlekes taisin, the Ritva, a lot of famous tirs on that. You say Ein Shluchat V'Avera by when the Shaliach himself is a shoygeg, or in this case is an omer mutar. Why would one suggest that Ein Shluchat V'Avera breaks down when the Shaliach thinks he's doing is okay? Because the Gemara in Kiddushin says, what's the reason for Ein Shluchat V'Avera? Who's the Shaliach supposed to listen to? He should be listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not to the Meshaleach. But here, the Shaliach doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. He doesn't think that he's violating the words of the Rav. So the Das HaShaliach, that there's nothing wrong, when the Shaliach is a Shaygeig, or Namur Mutter in this case, he passes as Mutter, how can you nail this by saying this is Ein Shluchat V'Avera? So the Chaznish addresses that also, and he says, yeah, that's what Taisus writes, that's true, but the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva in Kiddushin, Daf Membeis, Mem Gimel, writes that Ein Shluchat V'Avera is learned out from Psukim, it applies across the board. And if you look in the Shach, so the Shach says that Rov Rishonim don't hold for that Taisus. Most of the Rishonim, the Shach claims, hold that Ein Shluchat V'Avera is an absolute. Even when the reason doesn't apply, the din still applies anyway. So comes the Chaznish and says, therefore, based on everything that I'm telling you, that combination of all these factors, the Chaznish didn't think we should really rely on this Rabbeinu Baruch, Zadas Yochid, and even though the fear belongs to a Goy Mitchila, so he doesn't think that that's going to help in terms of Parish Shmias, because he thinks the Mabit is correct over the Beis Yosef. And the Chazanish thought that there's no real hetter itself to Geri Toshav, Bizman Azech, you know, we don't have any real Geri Toshav. The Rambam Zichanat, and even the Ravid, is highly questionable whether you have Geri Toshav. The hetter about Matnas Chinam by Chanoi Bekarach, he thought was Mamisha incorrect. So therefore, he thought there's no way around this Losa Chanim, so it's an outright violation, and since the Mechir is being done, there are Shlis, so the whole Shlichus is batel and finished. And so the combination of all these factors, the Chazanish was one of the strongest opponents to the Hetter Mechira. One could make a little bit of a tikkun, perhaps, on the Hetter Mechira, that, again, we're not saying that the Chazanish would therefore sign on it, but we could make a little bit of a tikkun. What could the tikkun be? Don't do it what? Don't do it to a Shlich. Let the farmer, what was the name again? The draw and Ezekiel meet each other. They need the Rishon and Sion for in the middle. Let them meet each other. So talking the last two Shemitahs, that was done. That's the last two at the Mechiras. So they've made that tikkun. They have the, instead of having the farmer appoint the rabbi as a shaliach, the farmer writes the shtar himself. And that shtar is delivered, whatever it is, to the Ezekiel. I don't know, face to face, whatever it is. But it's a direct Mechira rather than derech shalichos. So there's something to be gained with that. Again, don't misquote me by saying, well, therefore the Chaznish was masking to that Mechira. That was only the very last Akuda that the Chaznish didn't like. So now, if it's done that way, so then the Chaznish will concede that the Mechira is valid. He will also, I don't mean that the Mechira is valid, I mean the Mechira was valid. The Mechira did take place. The only thing is that it was a violation of Losei Chanim. The Chaznish holds it doesn't make much of a difference anyway that it belongs to a guy, because anyway, well, basically, well, then Rishmita applies. So the Chaznish wasn't signing on to the Setmachir in any shape or form. It's just that last Nakuda one could potentially get around.
Maybe Madaiak and the crazy example too much, but say the guy stays in America, can we just be Zochet to him?
There's no zechiyah for a guy.
There's no
zechiyah for a guy. The Gemara's in the Farish. There's no shlichus for a guy. There's no zechiyah for a guy. Not me the rice and not me the rabban.
Maybe you're going to get to this, but how does Otsar Beis work, assuming it works?
It's basically a different story of the Gemara. Otsar Beis means that everything has Kedusha Shviyas to it. It's Jewish owned land, completely Jewish owned land. Otsar Beis then enables us to quote unquote do business with the payers, because you're not really allowed to do business. But what you're allowed to do is as follows. Instead of having a total hefker free for all, everybody coming and grabbing apples and oranges, so the Beis Din takes over and they collect all the stuff, and they tell everybody, whoever wants to come, hey, we'll give it to you, but you have to pay us a little bit for our services because we're hiring people. In this case, they hire the farmers themselves because for two reasons. First of all, the farmers are out of work, and second of all, they're the only ones who know what to do. Well, who are they going to hire? Guys and cows don't know how to pick fruit. So they hire the farmers to work for them, and then the when you buy the fruit, so in effect what you're doing is you're not buying the fruit. You're paying for the services of the workers, which of course should translate to mean that the price of fruits would be significantly less. I'll leave that up to you to decide whether that actually is what happens. That's what in theory is supposed to happen. It's basically a different thing, legami. But the fruit has full-fledged kedusha shvias, and we wouldn't be allowed to do any malachas in the karka, only those limited things that are allowed to be done in trees. So it's not really the model of the het mechira. Okay, so again, we had a couple of tikkunim in het mechira over the years, but for the most part, those who are opposed to het mechira, for all the various reasons, are still continued. Close to that. So there, that's always a tricky question when you say poskim of stature. When the Het HaMechira was first suggested, it goes back in the 1800s. So one of the big people who dealt with that was Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan. He was Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan's stack that was approached about it. So it's hard to say that he supported that HaMechira. There was a certain support given by certain rabbanim in Europe for that mechira on a very, very limited level, almost a case by case, year shmita by shmita thing, with the understanding that it was an unbelievable shas chak shein kamayu, that it would have meant potentially the collapse of the entire yeshuv, if they would have closed everything down. So there was, and at the time, if I'm not mistaken, the original heta that some of the rabbanim in Europe stature signed off on was supposed to be that the actual malacha on the karak was supposed to be done by goyim. There was supposed to be, so there was no real derisive involved anyway, so it was supposed to be, those were some of the conditions that weren't necessarily always adhered to as the years went on. And it was supposed to be reevaluated every to see whether there was really grounds to be matter. So there were some rabbanim in Europe who did sign on it. But some of the big people who didn't sign on this, Levi and Netziv, were some of the biggest opponents of it. And then later years, the Chassidish and others, but again, there were Gedolim who did. Cook signed on to it. Again, also in a limited form. But it's taken shifts and turns over the years. Okay? Good. Okay, any last questions about the sugya? About Shemitah in general? About life? Kol Tarku?
Would you be allowed to buy Heter Mechiros fruit and then just treat it like...
Well, that's like touches on what we spoke about the other day. Vegetables is a potential problem of Sfichin if you really don't want to rely on that Mechira. And fruit is an issue of Meshumer. So I'll be making the Shalom Meshumer and everything will be okay.
So would you be allowed to buy it and then treat it like...
No, I'm saying, but if you hold the Rabbeinu Tam, if you hold the Rabbeinu Tam, the Meshumer is also ours, and then it's treif,
yeah.
Because the farmers lock the fields.
It's also considered like schoro with Shemitah fruit if you're buying it.
So that you have to come back for June's month. So that's another shayla. But if the schoro is only on the Meicher, on the Lekech also. So according to many, it's only on the Meicher. So now you don't have to come back for June's. Okay. Okay, a little bit of the very physical service.